Ready?
We are recording.
Okay. Well, welcome. This is the Leon County Research and Development Authority's Audit Committee meeting. The date is March the 12th. It is 11:01, and we call the meeting to order. Are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I just wanted to point out, I sent as a supplement to the agenda packet the RFP for auditor selection, and I can talk about that when we get to item number 7.
Okay. Is your motion to add the item to the agenda?
Move.
Second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor signify saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, by like sign, motion carries. Are there any public comments? I don't see any guests in the room, so probably not any public comments. You have received in your packet a copy of the proposed November the 4th Audit Committee meeting minutes. Chair has reviewed those. They appear to be accurate. Does anyone have any revisions, suggestions for additions, deletions? State so now. Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Signify by saying, well, is there a second, Kristen?
Second.
Thank you. And those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, by like sign, motion carries. All right, we now call to our podium. Allison Harrell.
You really don't have to get up to a podium.
I was like, yeah, like a virtual podium.
We have a real one.
Yeah. I'm okay. So I will present the draft of the audit and the report to those charged with governance. So beginning on page 1 is our audit opinion, and it is an unmodified opinion, again, which is the highest level of assurance that we can give on a set of audited financial statements, so a good, clean opinion. Then over on page 3 is your management's discussion and analysis that was prepared by Ron. If you have any comments, Ron, about that.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone has any questions. Obviously, we had extra revenue in the Morgan building from the IT services lease. That was a 1-year lease, basically, and that was very, very helpful. And then we also, sorry, Keith had to mention this, we had the SPDC lease termination.
I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, how'd you make it? Yeah. And so we had a little positive, a little bit negative. And then we had some capital improvements that we did, obviously, with this facility. And then the finishing up the restroom renovations in the Morgan building. And then the Florida retirement system, I thought it was important to note this information because it is becoming a pretty significant number in the financial statements. It's not, it's an accrued expense. It's not, and you can talk more about that when you get to that footnote, but I still have problems with the whole concept, but it's required and it's there, but I thought it was important to note. And that's pretty much all I had in that.
Okay. So then starting on page 7 is your statements of net position. And Ron went over a couple of changes, but I'll hit a couple of highlights too. You've got a decrease in your prepaid expenses and other assets, and that is just decreasing as the trail project is being built. And then you also had a new note receivable, which is from IPTLH. And that did have a subsequent to year-end payment to get that below the $10,000 limit there. You will see, as Ron stated, an increase to the deferred outflows of resources and the, there's a decrease in the deferred inflows of resources, but an increase in the deferred outflows regarding the pension liability, and that's really dictated by the governmental accounting standards and how that has to be recorded. We are given a report by the Florida Retirement System, and Ron prepares those entries for that, and there's not a whole lot of gray area in how it is recorded. It is very black and white based upon an actuarial study done by the state of Florida for the Florida Retirement System. And the number will increase also as you increase employees and they increase in tenure.
Yeah, this, I will say it's gotten easier to to do the calculations. I think the first year was everyone scratching their head going, what is this? Because there's a lot of information that you have to sift to find out where, you know, what to extract. We now have a good spreadsheet that says, here's where the numbers come from, here's how we aggregate it. So the process goes really, I think it used to take about a week, and now I've got it down about, I don't know, 2-3 hours, so much better.
Yes.
That's why we hired a CPA.
Exactly. So you'll see that you ended the year with your net position of $7.7 million compared to last year of $7.9 million. And we'll go over some changes to that net position on the next page. Over here on page 8, you did have a slight increase in your revenues, and Ron touched on some reasons for that. Regarding some changes in the leases, so $998,000 compared to $941,000. But you did have some increases in your expenses on the salaries and employee benefits side. That's a full year of your director of entrepreneurship, Michael. And then you also had on the other expenses, some of the maintenance expenses that were not capitalized on some of the buildings that were. Some were anticipated, some were unanticipated there, so you did have an increase from $510,000 to $573,000. Operating loss of $306,000 compared to an operating loss in the prior year of $246,000. There were some better rates on your investments this year, so you did have an uptick there from $70,000 to $99,000. Can't speak to what the market has been doing in the last 3 weeks, but it's for a change in overall net position of $206,000, a decrease in $206,000.
Also note the in salary employee benefits includes the pension expense. That's where that's part of that increase as well.
Yes. And then on the last page of the statements here, the basic statements is everyone's favorite, the statement of cash flows. You'll see here that you had net cash provided by operating activities of $85,000 compared to last year of $20,000. So your operations did have an uptick, mainly with the cash received from tenants. You did have an increase in the cash used in capital activities, capital and related financing activities of $297,000 compared to $128,000. And again, that's due to some of the renovations that have been going on, as well as the trail project. So overall, your net decrease in cash and cash equivalents was $112,000. To give you a cash and cash equivalents balance at year end of almost $3.9 million compared to $4 million in the prior year. On page 10 begins your notes to the financial statements. Luckily, we didn't have any applicable accounting standards that were issued that affected the authority this year, so everything has remained fairly consistent from the prior year. So on note one, the significant accounting policies, nothing has changed except updated for current year information. On note two, at the bottom of page 13, I've been battling allergies, so I'm trying to drink water and avoid coughing to think for anybody.
Is Eric inches away from
me? And I was like,
I know.
I know, the pollen and everything in the air, so I apologize, I'm not. So you'll see the ground lease there. There were really no changes to that note. And then starting on page 14 is the retirement plan note, which goes on for several pages. And really, you know, as we've gone over changes and talked about the numbers contained in the statements, those numbers are going to increase as, again, you gain more employees, those employees gain more tenure within the retirement system. And again, there's not really any gray areas there. It's a very prescribed formula from the actuaries for the state of Florida, and also very prescribed within the governmental accounting standards.
And I'm not picking on the standards, but I think the thing to understand is that we are given our allocable allocated share of the state's pension liability. I mean, that's
state's big bucket.
Yeah.
Right.
So it isn't necessarily reflective, in my opinion, from what the way I'm looking at this thing, it's not necessarily reflective of just our employees. So our share is impacted by that, but it's also the things that are going on within that in terms of the overall liability of the state. So that's, I think, the thing that's kind of got to get your head around is that it's nothing that we can control. It's not necessarily directly impacted by anything that we're doing, other than, as you said, if our payroll goes up, then our allocated share goes up. But beyond that, there are other things that are impacting that number outside of our control.
That's correct.
Just so I understand it, that's not to suggest I think this is going to happen, but if our staff was half next year, would that number go down? We get a credit?
Right. You would have less participants within the program, so yes.
So that number would go down, so it's all right.
This is not a question I've asked in recent years, and you all have been struggling with this for
a long time.
But it seems like FRS is still the best option for our staff, even with this issue going on. I mean, there's not any cause, as this keeps going up, to look for other opportunities to provide those benefits for our staff. I mean, we're a little different than, say, county, that, you know, we just have to be in that mix. It has been the right option for us, but a few years in, I'm just curious if there's any reason to explore other options.
You know, I think when you look at the actual cost,
yeah,
it's relatively low.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And that's the thing. This is, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, Allison, but basically, this is the liability we would have if FRS shut down today, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. at year end. If they shut down and became insolvent, that's the amount of money we would have to pay to fund the liabilities that we had at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay, so if FRS keeps operating and they're, 84%, I think, funded, then...
Which is one of the best in the nation, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's up there.
It's among the top. It's not one that's listed that has significant issues.
Okay.
So, I mean, some of this is timing. Some of the things you see is timing of these payments and the accruals and the deferred inflows and outflows and all of that. But that's my basic understanding. And so if everything just keeps going along as normal, we'll just keep paying our 3.3, well, whatever the funding rate is now, over 8% mm-hmm. is the employer's share. Because we're not just paying the 3.3% that goes into the employer's fund, we're also paying the rest is for the, you know, expenses of the plan. It's, honestly, I think it's to fund, changes in the pension plan earnings and, you know, all of the things they need mm-hmm. to be able to meet the liabilities that they see in the future based on what some actuary spends a lot of time and effort to calculate. So at 8%, you know, I don't know that we're going to go out there in the market and find something for a group of four people to, you know, less than that. And it is very attractive for people that we hire who, particularly when we end up with people who've been in government, who have FRS contributions already there. Naomi is one of them, for example, to be able to, you know, move to another job and still have all their assets in that plan.
And I think you hit on the important part that as a group of four people, that's a hard thing to come by.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied. I thought that was going to be the answer. I could say I really just wanted to let you show off your CPA skills here.
It's better when Allison's not here because then nobody knows if I'm, you know. I have to be careful with what I say.
Really lean into it. So, no, it's helpful. I just, it's not a question I've asked in recent years. So,
How often do we write a check to the fund?
Once a month.
Once every month. Okay. Adds up, buddy.
Yep.
All right. Any other questions with regard to the Florida Retirement System accounting?
No, nobody has any questions. I mean, there's 10 pages of notes.
And if you really want, we've got the FRS's whole financial statement we could go through.
It's great reading.
Several hundred pages. It's,
in case you have trouble sleeping at night.
And then there's the actuary's report. And if you think accountants are bad.
Put one of those in every restroom stall.
There you go. So moving on to the notes, again, we have to go to page 26 to get past pension note. So almost
there.
You get
dizzy going through these.
There you go. So we'd start with the commitments and contingencies, and of course a lot of these have been updated for current year costs. You'll see at the bottom of this page the trail project and how much has been spent as of September 30th, 2019 was $132,000. And you have a remaining balance of $52,000 to be spent in those funds sitting in prepaid expenses.
Which have since been spent.
On page 27 are your operating leases, and Ron touched on the major changes there within the management's discussion and analysis, but we do have narrative there describing all of the operating leases and which ones are in effect for the year under audit. That continues on to page 28 and has the future minimum lease rentals expected over the next 5 years. You'll see, in 2020, obviously you have the most amount as leases expire, and there are some short-term leases included in that 2020 number, whereas those leases didn't continue on into future years.
And that doesn't mean we don't expect to renew some of those leases, but since they're only, the short-term leases, they can't schedule out.
Correct. Note 6, you'll see your capital assets and changes there. Your biggest change this year was on the renovations of the buildings, one of the buildings that we're sitting in here today. That was $205,000. And then some items that were reclassified within those amounts during the build out. So overall your capital assets at the end of the year net of depreciation are a little over $3.8 million.
Yeah, just to point out the building renovation, that's not just this, that includes the Morgan Building restroom. So just so you don't think I overspent the $169,000 I was given. You will note that I spent $21,000 on equipment. We were authorized to spend $25,000, so
that's good.
Actually, I did spend 25. It just we had to expend some.
So. On the last page of the footnotes, page 29, we still have the $1.4 million, which has been designated by the board for future capital projects. So nothing has been spent out of that $1.4 million. It's still sitting in your net asset balance or your net position balance. Then we have various disclosures on risk management, and then we do have the new disclosure this year regarding the IPTLH and the transactions between the authority and IPTLH are described within that note and the relationship.
Did you want to talk about that at this point, or you want to, as far as what may or may not have to happen in the future?
So right now it's immaterial for the financial statements, so we disclosed it in a note. As we look at the consolidation criteria and what is considered to be a component unit, there is some gray areas there. And with the board overlap and control over that entity, more than likely that will be presented with the financial statements in the future for the authority, because it does very much resemble and look like a component unit, what is defined under the governmental accounting standards.
Component unit is different than a wholly owned subsidiary?
Not really, no.
Okay, about the same then?
About the same. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's just called a component unit in governmental terms, and a wholly owned subsidiary is under FASB, Financial Accounting Standards Board. So okay. Two different boards, component unit versus subsidiary, it's about the same thing.
Okay.
the consolidation criteria is a little bit different. So. Okay. And then if we hadn't heard enough about the pension liability, you also have some supplemental schedules in the back of your financial statements that, you know, now as we keep going and recording the liabilities and the deferred inflows and outflows of resources, you're also building up years that will eventually get to 10 years of disclosure here. So now we're in year 6. You have schedules of the proportionate share and contributions for both programs under the FRS system.
And you'll note the proportionate share is what we were talking about before in terms of, you know, our allocation of the liability. It looks like a really, really, really small number, but unfortunately the other side of that number is really, really, really big.
Right. That is correct. And then on page 34, because you are a governmental entity, we perform the audit in accordance with government auditing standards. We issue this report so that we, over internal control and compliance, we noted no items here to be noted. There's no recommendations for improvement. So that is a standard report there. Also, under the rules of the Auditor General and Florida statutes, we are required to issue an examination report regarding the authority's investment policies and that they're in accordance with the state statute. We've issued that here. They are in accordance with the state statute. There are no issues there. On page 37, this is another rule of the Auditor General to issue a management letter with a couple of requirements here. I did note one change that will need to happen from the draft, and it said at the bottom of this page 37, corrective actions have been taken to address findings or recommendations made in the preceding financial audit report. There were none.
Yeah.
So that sentence will change from the draft to the final issued document here. We are required to look at financial condition. Under the rules of the Auditor General, we have no items to note there. We are required also to look at the annual financial report, make sure it agrees. So no issues here. Very standard boilerplate language that is required by the Auditor General. So that ends the financial statement package, and then we have the report to those charged with governance. Are there any other questions regarding the financial statements? Okay.
That's good.
Then we have the report to those charged with governance. Here we state that we've performed our audit in accordance with government auditing standards that we have discussed with this committee, as well as members of management, our independence, that's stated in our engagement letter, as well as our audit planning process and the execution of the audit. There were no accounting policies that were adopted by the authority this year, no changes in accounting practices, nor were there any significant or unusual transactions that lacked guidance. There are judgments and accounting estimates as part of your statements. We look at those during our audit process and found that they are accurately supported and that they were all reasonable. There are some audit adjustments that are attached as Exhibit A. Actually, there's only one audit adjustment, and that is for the FRS and the pension liability. Since the timing of the audit and when we received that report, that is the only adjustment that was made to the trial balance. So that is a good testament of the staff and the outsourced accountants that we're not coming in and cleaning up the books at the end of the year, and that you can rely on numbers that you're looking at during the year to make financial decisions. There were no uncorrected misstatements. We encountered no disagreements with management. We're not aware of any consultations that management had with other accountants regarding accounting or auditing matters. No significant issues that arose from the audit, and no significant difficulties. And then it discusses our letter that was issued that I've already gone over, our report on internal control and compliance, and there were no items to be noted there. And then once we issue this a report in final form, there will be an attachment Exhibit B, which is a representation letter that is signed by Ron, stating that we've gotten everything that we've asked for during the audit and making certain assertions regarding account balances. So that is my entire report. So a
Thank
good
you.
Report.
Now, questions to the auditor. I am really pleased that we have this unmodified opinion, which I used to call something else, but changed through the years.
It used to be called unqualified.
There you go, unqualified statements or audits.
I think people thought it sounded like we were unqualified to give an opinion.
Yes.
Unmodified.
Yeah. This would seem to be one of the very cleanest audits of very many clean ones that we have had. I compliment staff. I compliment our external bookkeeping department. I am very pleased to note that I think we're in really great shape. Staff has brought in a new perspective of what we should be expected to present and be prepared to defend. I appreciate your expertise. I appreciate your leadership.
Thanks, sir.
Very well done. Thank you
we
all
have,
for staying on top of it. I appreciate, again, your attention to detail. I have been in organizations where we've had findings that next year were the same findings, and at that point in time, I usually ask for there to be a consideration of whether we need to have a change of staff. We've never had that situation since I've been around here.
Change of staff?
Yeah, regarding a failure to address corrective actions.
Oh, okay, so, good. Because is there something you didn't tell me?
So I thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry about that. 5-6 years, I mean, past any of the kind of corrective actions that we were doing for cleanup. And I don't mean to put you two on the spot for that. You don't have to
eight.
Say that. But we are several years, I'll say that, past.
Eight, I think.
Taking,
eight,
okay,
yeah,
you're
eight,
not
maybe.
Taking any of those steps to deal with
yeah.
those early issues. So we've had, I mean, this is a really good run. We can truly say we're beyond all of that. And it just, it's working now.
I think
yeah.
we've had one comment in,
yeah.
I think, I've been here 7.5 years. I think we've had one
yeah.
comment.
Was that something about updating policies or something? Or
that was related to whatever that thing was that's still hanging out there in that report.
Yeah, and I think it was a change in process as far as approvals. It
yeah.
was some kind of
yes.
approval on a contract,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
I just wanted to kind of, we're not changing staff, nothing like that. We haven't had any cause to ask
right.
that question in a long time, so...
It has happened, though.
Long time ago, yes.
Yes,
yeah, we've just been here a long time.
Yes, you and I know about
this. Yes, very long time.
I remember seeing an audit that had maybe 3 or 4 pages of findings.
Before
which Allison wrote.
I'm thankful to not write those.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, good team. Yes, thank you.
For Eric and Keith... came on the board a little bit later, there were times when we really had the local newspaper coming to our board meetings to hear what was going on. It's a big story in the paper. One of the commissioners that was on our board was, quite frankly, going to the public pretty often making comments. But then a year later, the newspaper did do us a favor by having a big headline that all issues had been resolved. But there were times when the newspaper reporter would stand by the restroom door to hear if board members were making comments that should have been recorded in the meeting, and did catch that happening and did report it in the paper, and the paper did make a comment that if that happened again, then they would really write us up. So, interesting times have come and gone. So, thank you, Allison. I appreciate you. I appreciate your company. Job well done. Thank you for looking at us really hard and tough. And I sense from all of this stuff you presented today, it was a thorough evaluation.
You're welcome.
Okay. Is there a motion now to send this forward to the executive committee with a recommendation that it go to the board for its approval?
So moved.
Second.
Keith and Eric made the motion and seconded. Any
aye.
Further discussion? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign, motion carries. All right, that will then go to the executive committee. At that point in time, we will then, that committee will then recommend to the board. All right, we now have some discussion regarding the audit contract. The contract as written is scheduled to end this year with this audit. There is a provision in there that we may retain the auditors currently under contract for two additional years. They have been asked to give some consideration to whether they want to stay engaged, and I think they have indicated back that, yes, they would like to do that. At this point in time, this committee would then evaluate whether we would recommend to the executive committee and the board the extension of the contract for two additional years, or that we go into an RFP procedure. I would tell this committee that if you go into RFP procedure, you're going to be in a lot more meetings, evaluating and listening to a lot more proposals and all sort of other things. Just a hint of what I'm thinking. So, but the floor is now open for discussion as to retention or extending terms for a RFP.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we, I'll make a motion that we retain the current auditors just for continuity purposes. And they are very familiar with our operations. And I just think that if we were to go back into another process, then we spend a lot of time getting the new auditors up to speed. And if it's not broken, I don't see the need for us trying to fix it.
Thank you, Keith. There is a motion on the floor.
I'll second. And Eric, were you going to say something?
No, I was going to fight you for the opportunity.
Yeah, you can second it for sure. One question, just for the record, I guess, remind myself, obviously I second. I fully support this. Great job from Thomas Howell, as always, and Allison, you've been, as we were just saying, here a long time. I also, and you've heard me say this over the years, I do think it's in any public organization's interest to go to RFP at some point, but we have that provision for contract extensions. So in our last round, before the last RFP that led to September 17, we had had a contract, we extended it for a time, and then we went out for RFP. So we are in exactly the same posture as we were in the previous contract. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, this one's been 3 years. I think the one before that was probably, I think we had done it for what, 5 or 6 years?
But we extended the contract. It was that same posture where we have a contract, we have a provision to extend, we do that, and then we go to RFP because we do think that's necessary at some point.
Yeah, actually this contract has two additional two-year extensions into it, so potentially 4 years.
Okay, but we'll consider that another 2 years.
Absolutely.
Okay. Just
you all can.
maybe we'll hand it off to other people in time. This is just my, kind of splitting the difference. I completely agree. It's not broken. There's no need to change. This is good, but public entities should always look at RFP at some point in the process, so I'm happy with where we are. Yeah.
All right, before the chair acknowledges a second, let me ask the auditor to discuss with us what provisions you would have relative to your expenses for us.
So, yes, I spoke with Ron before the meeting and said that we could keep our fee flat for the 2020 audit, and then a less than 3% increase for the 2021 audit.
Which is $500.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, our costs keep going up.
But you're getting more efficient, though.
So it'll be $17,500 for this upcoming fiscal year, and then $18,000
for the following year. Okay, I wanted that to be in the record as well, and noted in the minutes.
And also to note that they do make a $1,000 contribution as part of the contract, $1,000 contribution to the tech grant sponsorship.
And I think that should be reflected too. Thank you for that very much. I appreciate it too. Okay, now there is a motion on the floor. Is there now a second, understanding a little bit more about the financials? Did you make the second?
I did, but I'll give it up to Eric now. Emily, you're driving Peggy crazy.
Second, all right.
Thank you, Peggy.
There's a motion and a second that we extend the contract with Thomas Howe Ferguson for two additional years, with the understanding that the fee would be flat for the first year and up 3%, approximately $500 for the second year.
And this is a recommendation to the board.
Not to the executive committee?
Well, or the executive committee, whoever takes it up. But as it's not an approval to do it, it's a recommendation.
That is correct. This is a recommendation to either whoever meets first, the executive committee or the board, that we take this action. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. Congratulations. Please tell all the folks over there that we are hopeful that you all are as excited about this as we are.
Hope the board moves forward and are as excited about it as we are.
Yeah. Yes. Is there any new business to come before the audit committee?
Actually, we do have the agenda modification. Okay. So I recognizing that this is a recommendation to the board that to continue the contract or extend the contract.
Right.
That the board or the executive committee could say, no, we don't want to do that. And if that's the case, then the audit committee would have to approve the RFP before it would be released, and we'd have to hold another meeting to do that. So what I sent you was the RFP to approve contingent on a decision from the board as to whether or not they want to extend the contract. If they do not, then we'd already have that approved and ready to go. Just as a backup.
Okay, this is just a precautionary step. As Ron says, as a backup. I don't think I've ever seen a recommendation of this committee go before the board that wasn't approved. But you've seen, or perhaps you've seen, hopefully you've seen, the RFP in its draft form, I guess in its final form. You are asked now to have any discussion you like regarding that RFP, and if not, Chair would be pleased to receive a motion to accept that as the language for the RFP.
If I could add, this is the same, basically the same RFP we used for the last procurement. I have made some updates relative to, you know, things like talking about the IPTLH and, you know, new board members, but otherwise it's pretty much the same. We just change all the dates. So, yeah. And as you can see, this is the reason, the schedule appears the reason we would have to do this, because it seems like a long time to, but given when the board meets and when you have to get hold certain committee meetings and all of that, this is the schedule that we would have to follow in order to hit those dates. So that's what we wanted to add.
Not very likely, but is there a motion to? I think I heard Eric move. Is there a second?
Second.
Keith's got the second. Those in favor of approving the language in the RFP, which is probably not going to be needed, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign, motion carries. Okay. All right. I think you've heard the sentiment of the committee, Allison. So we thank you again for your hard work. Is there any further business to come before the committee? Hopefully then we are adjourned for almost another year.